From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of May, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll continue our conversation with Ukrainian farmer Roman Gorbets. We'll talk today about some of the ways he markets his grain. That's very interesting. You want to stay with us for that. And we'll hear about the weather forecast here in the United States as well from Eric Snodgrass at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible, all on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn today settled at $7.77 and a quarter, up 12 and a quarter cents. December at 7:30, 11 and a quarter higher. July beans 7:32 and a quarter, up 5 and 3 quarters. And November contracted 15:44, down 0.75 cents. Bean meal off $4, or rather up $4.10. And the bean oil down 95 cents. July wheat 14 and a quarter higher at 11:57 and a half, and the hard red there at 12:35 and a quarter, up 6 and 3/4 of a cent. Live cattle futures down 20 cents. The feeders were 35 lower, and hogs were off 10 cents, 100 pounds. Mike Zuzlow, GlobalComResearch.com, out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to discuss the end of the week trade. Thanks, Mike, for being with us. What'd you make of today's trade?
Well, you know, it was interesting, Todd, because it seemed like to me that the wheat lead price break for almost 2 weeks in a row, and you know, pulling back almost 14% from around that 1380 high in hard red wheat, it looked like to me that the market by the end of this week realized that there were still weather and supply problems. And it looked like between Wednesday and Friday, the trade really started to hone in on more of what was happening with canola in Canada, spring wheat in Northern Plains in Canada, and the crop over in France, especially as far as the European crop. And the supply and the weather came back in to help bolster this market, because earlier in the week, it was more about a Russian corridor opening for wheat and the shipping lanes opening up, and all of a sudden Ukrainian wheat and corn especially would open up and get into the world marketplace. But it seemed like to me, going into the holiday weekend, the trade was not real satisfied with the way the weather was shaping up. And I get a sense that we're back to kind of a normal trade during this time of year, and it will be something we'll look at after the holiday weekend again, and that is the good old European versus American models. And they were in disagreement until Thursday, and then the GFS model turned wetter for the Northern Plains with the European. And I think that moved a lot of heads and turned a lot of heads.
What do we think if nothing changes? And I don't know that will be the case by the time we open on Monday evening into Tuesday for that session. Will happen at this point then?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I get the sense this week and last week we took prices low enough. We tested some really crucial support, and notice we were back to having the soy complex lead us out of the hole. And the bean complex, it looked real vulnerable on Friday on a closing basis. It really started to give up its gains. And November even went negative because we got so close to the February highs in both July and November contracts. I think there's just some profit taking before the long weekend. But to answer your question, I kind of feel like that the week, this week and last week, tested the resolve of the bull and the charts and the technicians. And the, so far the charts have held, and especially in the monthly corn chart. So I think we go into the first of next week, unless we see a surprise increase in spring wheat planting and corn planting in the Northern Plains, I think we have more of a potential to build some premium back into this market.
Is there reason, if producers still have an opportunity to make new crop sales for either corn and soybeans on this Friday afternoon, that they might consider another tranche or not?
Yeah, I think, you know, not after the Friday close, obviously. I would probably wait and go through the weekend and see what the weekend weather brings in Northern Plains, because I talked to a contact up in the Northern Plains right outside of Fargo, and they were going very hard west of Fargo and even north of Fargo and trying to get in everything they could. But there's more rain coming, and it looks like there's quite a bit of rain coming this weekend. So that that planting may not come through very well, and they may be sitting in ponds come Tuesday morning. So I would say beans would be the first thing I'd want to go after, because they've been the best as far as rally, and the canola market has been able to take us higher, and the meal market has been able to retrace nicely. I think the biggest thing about the next week's trade will be, for me, is whether the hard red wheat and the spring wheat can kind of join up together and lift the whole market as a whole like it used to. And if it doesn't, then I will be probably on the hunt for making some fresh soybean hedges. Earlier this week, I didn't want it to go below $15 in November beans. Now I'm in the mindset I don't want it to go below $15.20, $15.25 on a daily closing basis.
So the wheat will depend a lot on the European model and what's happening in France then.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, the Paris updates on the French crop ratings for wheat and barley, they were down 3 weeks in a row. They're below 70% now. They were 80% a year ago, and they had record temperatures, record high temperatures for the month of May in these key areas. And with our pullback and a softer dollar, I would think that Paris wheat would want to support us. And I think the spring wheat would want to continue to support us too.
Anything for the livestock producer before I let you go?
I think the big thing for the livestock producer is what's going to happen this weekend. There's a lot of consternation, it seems to me, out there in the analytical world and the research world, and rightfully so, with these record high gas prices and supply chain snarl still for some goods, that we don't know how summer grilling season is going to be, and it may be very poor. And I think this is where this weekend's ads showed a kind of hamburger going up against ribs and going up against, you know, one cheap cut going up against another cheap cut. So doesn't look so good to start off with. And I think a lot of people, including my eyes, will be peeled on how did the Memorial Day holiday go.
Thank you much.
Thanks, sir. Have a great holiday. And thank you for everybody that served and saved us for what you and I are able to talk about freely.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Mike. That's Mike Zuzlow. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Now, let's hear more of the conversation I had with Roman Gorobats. He is a farmer that lives in the eastern part of Ukraine. We heard the beginning of this conversation yesterday afternoon. We'll continue it now. I asked him what the expectations might be for yield.
Speaking about my farm or Ukraine in general, or our region?
Both.
Both. So speaking about my farm, as long as we got everything in place, I'm not concerned about target yield, because we have everything in place to reach our target, to reach our goal. But, you know, it's quite hard to speak about any yield projections at the end of May.
What do you think the chances, given normal weather, the chances for the region to reach last year's productivity would be, and for the nation as well? How much of the crop do you think Ukraine can raise, corn, soybeans, and wheat?
I don't know. It's better to refer to analytics, because, you know, in Ukraine we have quite good analytical companies. They can provide you with these estimates. But what I heard and what I'm not now seeing, you know, everything is quite good so far. And of course, we will have substantial decrease in volume because of several factors. First factor is decrease in area. Because a lot of area is, not a lot, but big chunk of land is occupied. And also a lot of farmers, they reconsider their crop rotation. They switched from corn to more to soybeans or to some other plants. Because, you know, corn is the hardest crop to handle, because you need to move a lot of corn, you need to dry it, and a lot of farmers, they have concerns about natural gas supply for the fall season. And we also are working on getting backup source of propane gas, because we have a Sukup dryer, which can be run on either natural gas or propane. So usually we are using natural gas, but we are considering to install tank for propane and to do all of the paperwork and to lay down pipes, you know, to have a backup source of energy. But if we are coming back to the question we were discussing, speaking about winter wheat, it's going to be some reduction in soybean. Probably it's going to be some reduction, probably in sunflower. But in corn, I think it's going to be the biggest reduction.
Roman, I'll check in again with you in a few weeks to see how things are going as you get into the summertime. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Sorry for my delay in response, because I was a little bit busy and stuff.
That's all right. Farmers are always busy, so I'm used to waiting for them. not a big deal at all. They're always in the truck and always busy.
You know, I'm not driving a truck actually, but I had a lot of errands to do. You know, you always postpone them. It's like you have a solid excuse. I have a lot of work to do on my farm. I have a lot of work to do managing my company, to, you know, preparing all of this stuff. And you just postpone your errands. And I decided to concentrate on errands and to rest a little bit. And I had a recent shot of booster dose of Pfizer vaccine. And, you know, 1 or 2 days, you're a little bit loose and not that productive. That's why. And also we, May or beginning of June, we are performing agricultural benchmark. We have one company in Ukraine, and that company collects a lot of data, operational data, and they compare it with other regions, other farms, and it's kind of letting you know your particular place among others. And it's relatively inexpensive if you put it per hectare. It's like dollar or two per hectare. But you know your place in your region, in whole Ukraine, how productive you are, what type of machinery or fertilizer or what's your selling strategy, is it better or worse than comparing to others. So we also were preparing this information and we will send it for analysis next week.
That's Roman Gorobets. He's a farmer in the eastern part of Ukraine. I talked to him early Thursday morning, our time. Of course, they're 8 hours ahead of us. He had just come back from the field, actually from running some errands, and was trying to put together all of the farm paperwork for a company that does a lot of analysis. Sounded very much like the FBFM record, or Farm Business Farm Management Record Keeping Service. In the state of Illinois, there are FBFMs in other states, but Illinois is the premier among them because it does this same kind of benchmarking. If you want to learn more about that, you can find them at fbfm.org. Now, I talked to Roman for about an hour. You've heard something like 20 minutes of it, and I did end the conversation there, but we continued for another 20 minutes or so, and I turned the recorder back on. I asked him if I could use this because he started talking about the way he markets, or did market, actually, prior to the war, and you'll hear something about that as well. But remember, he's 5,800 acres, so in the state of Illinois, the average FBFM record is about 1,500, so he's four times that size, roughly speaking. Which is a big farm in Illinois, but not an enormous farm. There are much larger farms here and certainly much larger farms in Ukraine. However, he uses the siding that belongs to the local grain elevator. And he doesn't run his grain through the elevator. He just rents the elevator's loading facilities.
And we can purchase a grain loading service, and we can do all of delivery by ourselves. And we make international contracts with buyers from, let's name, I had buyers from Switzerland, from United Arab Emirates. We also shipped some of our grain to China, but we used intermediary. We used COFCO. And, myself, as a farmer, as a producer, I can sign export contract and I can get foreign currencies as payment. I can get US dollars, I can get euros, I can get French franc, Swiss francs. You know, if I need renminbi or yuan, I mean, if we are speaking about Chinese currency, I can also get those currency. I can open a bank account in almost any currency I need.
Yeah. How unusual is that? Because you're just not that large in size. I'm surprised that you're able to handle the logistics of being able to rent the terminal, the grain loading terminal, that is.
Of course, I'm not renting the whole terminal. I'm just using their service.
But yeah, being able to purchase their service, do you arrange the cars?
Yes, yes.
The rail cars or does
you know, if you are educated enough, you can do this stuff easily. You just need to calculate if there's going to be any benefit for you or not. If that benefit is a couple dollars per one metric ton, there is almost no benefit. But if you calculate that you need to sell, let's say, 3,000 metric tons or 5,000 metric tons, and you are getting like $5 per metric ton, it's already $15,000 to $25,000. You know, it's a decent money to just spend some time on that process. But now this way of doing business, I think, is over. Because it's way better to move your grain as close as possible.
Right, because Ukraine's gotten big enough that it's simply a commodity market instead of having to try to finesse your way through to a Swiss company that wanted, I assume they were looking for a particular characteristic or quality that you were able to provide.
No. I'm speaking about war. Because of war, you know, we have a lot of consequences and a lot of problems with logistics. But if you don't want to manage these logistics, it's way easier to sell your grain as close as possible. But under normal conditions, Ukraine grain trading is quite developed. Unfortunately, we don't have direct access to hedging, but we started to move and to develop that sort of market and services last several years.
I'm surprised you're not able to use the CME group in some way.
Because of Ukrainian taxation.
That is Roman Gorobots. He is a farmer in Ukraine. We'll check in with him again about midsummer, I suppose, and then at the harvest time to see how things are going. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, by the way. We had Roman on yesterday, so if you want to listen to yesterday's and today's both, they're in the podcast at willag.org. It's a Friday afternoon. We're joined by Eric Stondgrass to take a look at the weather forecast. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Eric, I'd like to talk a little bit about this low-hanging set of clouds we've had, bringing a lot of wet weather to the area. Where are we in that pattern, and where are we headed?
Yeah, Todd, you know, the thing we've been dealing with here is this close cutoff low that just slowly moved out of Oklahoma, came over us eventually, and is trying to get off to the east today. So we've still continued to be wet around here as all of this has gone through. Now, just thinking about what that's doing, it's just going to open us up into a dry weekend. It's going to open us up into a lot of heat next week, which is going to be nice because we need to really pound this crop with some heat. The problem is where all the wet weather is going to return, and that's back from the Pacific Northwest into the Northern Plains and Southern Canadian Prairie. And those are places that have been extremely wet as of late, and this is going to cause continued planting delays in that part of the country.
Have you thought about the month of June and July and the rest of the summer?
Well, some new forecast data just came in last night from the European model. And it's one that, honestly, I've built a lot of trust in as of late. It's done quite well with the late winter and spring pattern. So what did it show? It ended up showing us that the risk of going over drier and warmer in the central United States is increasing. Now, how far to the east does that get? Does it get into Illinois? That's going to be the wild card. It seems to be more focused on the Western Corn Belt. That's also lining up well with some of the new data that came out from the CPC, the Climate Prediction Center, which they're also maintaining drought stress in the plains and then building it later on this summer into the Western Corn Belt. And again, we just look at all this and say, well, what's the cause? What's going on here? We have to blame a lot of it on the behavior of the jet stream in the Pacific. And a lot of that is related to ocean temperature patterns, which are ultimately the symptom of the behavior of the atmosphere. So we're still talking about La Nina, even though it's loosened its grip a bit. We still see the signature of La Nina across the central equatorial Pacific. We've also got the colder water that's sitting there, along the west coast of North America. So what's going on is, okay, we got moisture now. We're going to bring in some heat. The question is, who gets the rain and who doesn't get the rain going later? And I think the stresses on drought issues are going to be greater the farther west you go, I think, especially from the Mississippi River. So it feels as though this is going to be another one of those years where the dividing line is right there on that river. West of it, greater stress or greater risk. East of it, less. And it'll be that way, Todd, until it changes, right? Until we see something that shows up a little bit different. But just don't forget, it's not just here that there's risk. We're watching Europe very carefully right now. And our friends in Australia, just thinking about wheat, they've been extremely wet and they're forecast to stay wet. So a lot of places around the world that we're keeping an eye on, but most of the world is focused right now on what's going on with this U.S. crop.
Hey, thanks, Eric. That's Eric Stondgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Joined us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Just a quick reminder that Monday is Memorial Day. The markets will be closed, though there will be a closing market report Monday afternoon, a special Memorial Day edition. You'll want to tune in for that. The theme music for the closing market report is written and performed by my brother, Logan County, Illinois farmer, Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.